during the reign of Marcus Aurelius, Emperor of Rome, around AD 163. Felicitatus, a Roman lady of high rank and great ability, was a devout Christian. She had 7 sons, whom she had educated with the most pious care. The empire being about this time grievously troubled with earthquakes, famine, and floods, the Christians were accused of causing these disasters, and Felicitatus was included in the accusation. The lady and her family being seized, the emperor gave orders to Publius, the Roman governor, to proceed against her. At the examination and trial, Publius began with the mother, thinking that if he could persuade her to change her religion, the example would have great influence with her sons. Finding her firm, he changed his entreaties to threats, telling her that he would destroy her and her family. But she despised his threats, as she had done his promises. Publius then caused her sons to be brought before him, whom he examined separately. They all, however, remained steadfast in their faith, and alike in their opinions. The whole family were then condemned to die. Januarius, the eldest, was scourged and pressed to death with weights. Felix and Philip, the two next, had their brains dashed out with clubs. Silvanus, the fourth, was destroyed by being thrown from a precipice. And the three younger sons, Alexander, Vitalis, and Martialis, were all beheaded. The mother was at last slain with the same sword that had ended the lives of her 3 sons. Welcome back to the Worthy Is He podcast. I'm Chip Stewart. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. And we are continuing to go through the Beatitudes, and this may be the most difficult of them all. Blessed are the persecuted. So I'll recap what the Beatitudes say, and this is one of them that is also mentioned in Luke chapter 6. But let's go back through the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And the passage from Luke in chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, and then in 26. "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." Before we start talking about persecution, I want to remind us of what blessed means. And going back to what I found in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God. And to shorten this, it's enjoying the favor of God. He looks favorably upon you when you are blessed, when you're blessed. So now moving on to persecution. What is meant by that? Well, I think the passage from Luke chapter 6 that we just read lays it out pretty well. Talks about when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, and when they spurn your name as evil. There's other verses that say persecution is things like being flogged, beaten, treated shamefully, and turned over to death. And these are all done on the account of the Son of Man. It's not because of some evil that you or I did. It's because of our faith in Jesus Christ that this happens. And then Webster's 1828, let's turn there for a second and see how he defines persecution there. And it says, in a general sense, to pursue in a manner to injure, vex, or afflict, to harass with unjust punishment or penalties for supposed offenses, to inflict pain from hatred or malignity. And then the second part of the definition, appropriately to afflict, harass, or destroy for adherence to a particular creed or system of religious principles or to a mode of worship. Thus, Nero persecuted the Christians by crucifying some, burning others, and condemning others to be worried by dogs. See Acts chapter 22, verse 4. So that's a general idea of what is meant by persecution. It's not fun. It's not something that we wish to have done to us. But as we'll see in the scriptures, it's something that we can expect for being Christians, and it's something that we should rejoice in. Again, this is very difficult. Now, in these verses, it mentions a couple times about the suffering of the prophets. Why were they persecuted? Why did they suffer? And when you go back and you read in the Old Testament, it's because they were obedient and spoke the oracles of God, which the people hated them for. They didn't like what these prophets had to say and what God had to say to them. They were rebellious in their hearts. And then we should expect, because the same thing, so likewise, we should suffer when our lives and actions reflect the image of our God in heaven. People will hate that. A prime example of a prophet who was persecuted in the New Testament is John the Baptist, who was put into prison and later beheaded. We can also turn to Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 51, where Stephen also talks about the prophets that they persecuted beforehand. He says here, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." So more description here of their forefathers who persecuted the prophets and some of the reason why they were not keeping the law. And it didn't seem like they cared to either. It was a hypocrisy. The leaven of the Pharisees is what Jesus calls it. Jesus, our Lord, speaks about this also in Luke chapter 11, starting verse 47. "One of the lawyers answered him, 'Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also.' And he said, 'Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." So scathing words against the lawyers, and you also have the teachers of the law, how they are a wicked generation, that they through their lives support what their forefathers did in the persecution of the prophets sent by God. And then in Mark chapter 12, Jesus tells us a parable about how the prophets that God sends to Israel are persecuted, and some are even killed, and then how he, God's son, will also be killed by these people. "And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the wine press and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard, and they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. So these passages describe the persecution of the prophets. And we are forewarned that that the forefathers did this, they persecuted the prophets, they will also persecute us. We will also be persecuted for being loyal to God, to speaking the truth of God here in this world. So let's ask, I'd like to ask the question, well, why will Christians suffer persecution? And several reasons. It's because we're refused to worship and serve the God of this world or any other God set up in opposition to God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. I use this opportunity to start reading from Fox's Book of Martyrs, which that passage right at the beginning was from. And I've read fairly far into it. I haven't completed it yet. But so many times in ancient Rome, Christians were persecuted for not worshiping the idols, the false gods of Rome. And they were killed because of it. So that may be coming again, as described in Revelation, where believers are beheaded during the tribulation. I think it's most likely they are not worshiping what we call the Antichrist. Another reason, we worship the only God, unlike those who are in a state of rebellion against him. These people who are in a rebellion against God, they don't worship him. They hate him, and especially hate his son, Jesus Christ, and those who follow him. So that's why we're persecuted, because we're followers of the one that they hate. Another reason that we're persecuted is because our righteousness convicts those in the world of their sin. It shines a light on their own wickedness, and they don't like that. Another reason, we do not love the world, or we do not love the world system. That's offensive. We are not of the world. That's because we are born again from above. We have become children of God. And because we're children of God, they hate us, and then we will be persecuted. Another reason we're given as to why we'll be persecuted is because if our master was persecuted by the world system, we as his servants will also be persecuted. We are not above our master and will not escape these things. We'll be persecuted because we're zealous for what is good, not those things that are evil, those evil things that are going on around us. We do not wish to partake in those activities. We seek to another reason we're persecuted is we seek to live a godly life in the name of Christ Jesus. Again, they find that offensive. It exposes their own sin. We do not go along with them in this sin. And also because we exhibit the attributes of someone who is in the kingdom of God. Those attributes, the ones I will select here, are the ones from the other Beatitudes. You know, we're poor in spirit, we're meek, we're merciful, we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're pure in heart, and we're peacemakers. We'll be persecuted because of that, because we don't partake in the evil, the sinfulness that's around us. Now, we have to remember that there's another option for why we might be persecuted, and that might be for being a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler or some other sin like that. But we have to remember, if we're being persecuted for that reason, we're not blessed by God. We're blessed by God for being persecuted for being his follower. You know, we're being persecuted for the name of Christ and being his servants. So with the other cases, if we're a murderer or a thief or have committed some other sin, we probably deserve that persecution. We're not innocent in that case. The other case I was talking about before for being a Christian is that we're basically being persecuted falsely on account of the Son of Man. They think they have a legitimate reason, but in God's eyes, who is just and the justifier, in God's eyes, we're being persecuted falsely, and we're blessed because of that. How should we respond under persecution? Should we face persecution? This is where it gets difficult. Reading through Fox's Book of the Martyrs and reading about the different ways that Christians were put to death, tortured and put to death, was very difficult when you really think about it and you put yourself in that situation. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is with each one of us as we go through that to strengthen us and carry us through that situation so that we may glorify our Father in heaven through our suffering and our death for His namesake. But how should we respond? We should continue to acknowledge Jesus Christ before men. And I've taken these, I'm distilling this from the scriptures that we're going to read through here in a minute. I'm just summarizing here at the beginning. But when we're being persecuted, we must continue to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior before men. We need to be able to share the reason for the hope in us, that everlasting life through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We must continue to do good. We should rejoice and leap for joy. Can you believe that? You're being persecuted, and our Lord is telling us to rejoice and leap for joy. Is that not hard? We should not fear our persecutors. We should not be anxious about what we'll say when we're undergoing persecution. We're being questioned because the Holy Spirit will help us say what we need to in those times, in those very difficult times. We should bless those who persecute us. We should not curse them. We do not repay evil for evil, but we overcome evil with good. We feed our enemies when they're thirsty and give them something. I'm sorry, we feed our enemies when they're hungry and give them something to drink when they're thirsty. We must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Why is this? Why are we being so kind to those who hate us? Well, one, we reflect the glory of God and His mercy and grace upon us, because while we were yet sinners, He loved us. He sent His Son to the cross to die for us when we hated Him. So we reflect our Father in that respect. And also, there is the possibility that our persecutors will come to Christ because of the example that we set. We will be such a shock to them for praying for them, for repaying evil with good, blessing them, that they may repent and believe on the name of Jesus Christ. So don't count them out yet. You know, our behavior as Christians under persecution bring people to Christ. And I've read that within Fox's Book of Martyrs. Those are just examples that you'll find in there of persecutors who came to Christ because of the reaction of the Christians and how they suffered for their Savior, and they went to their death for their Savior, and they went with a happy countenance, or a content countenance on their face. You know, they were happy almost to be going to their death for their Savior Jesus Christ, because they know that they're going to be blessed, and that can change people. Okay, that can change people. So yes, love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We need to cast our anxieties on the Lord. During that time, resist the devil, because the devil will want us to sin and react the opposite way. We need to be humble, continue to be humble. We need not be ashamed when we're being persecuted, because our Father in heaven sees it and He looks down upon us and He considers us blessed. We need to honor Christ as holy in our hearts during that time. We need not to deny our Lord. We need to entrust our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And we need to pray. We need to pray for the strength of our Lord, for the grace of God to get us through those times, and pray, like I said before, for our persecutors. So let's hop into the scriptures, and you will see where I pulled these responses, this advice, this guidance from our Lord for what happens when we're under persecution. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16. And this tells us that persecution will come to followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Now he's talking to his disciples here, but I do believe that a lot of this still applies to us. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly, I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So there's a lot in this passage about how believers will be delivered over to courts and being flogged and dragged before heads of government and things of that nature. But there's comfort in here because we're told that, you know, when it comes time for us to speak, the Spirit will give us what we need to say. And there's, I believe, twice in here, it says, do not fear, fear not, because He is sovereign over all of this. And He expects us as His children to not deny Him. We continue to acknowledge our Lord before men. Let's turn to John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. And this is a passage where Jesus tells us that if they persecuted him, they will also persecute us as his followers. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This is an expectation for Christians. Let's now turn to 1 Peter. There's three sections in 1 Peter that address persecution. The first one's in chapter 3, and it begins in verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. That's exactly what our Lord said in the Beatitudes. You will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Be kind to all, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but also as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. In this letter, Peter is saying that we should suffer for righteousness' sake, if we should. We're going to be blessed. But he also echoes, or he also reiterates, we should have no fear of those who persecute us. Instead, we should honor Christ the Lord as holy in our hearts. It is better to suffer for doing good, which is what this is talking about. We're being persecuted for doing good in the name of God. And it's better that than being persecuted or suffering for doing evil. The second section in 1 Peter, if you turn to chapter 4, this talks about trials, basically persecutions, as a test of our faith. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. There it is again, calling for us to rejoice when we suffer for the name of Christ, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Putting that faith, when we suffer, putting that faith in our Creator, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our Father in heaven, and we continue to do good while we suffer. That can be very counterintuitive, but this is what our Lord calls us to. We should be doing good in any and every situation we come into. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. We shouldn't be insulted for the name of Christ because we're being a jerk about it or something like that. It should be because we are reflecting our Savior and we are doing good in our lives. Now, the third section is in chapter 5, starting in verse 6 of 1 Peter, which talks about the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. One periodical that I subscribe to is Voice of the Martyrs. That was an organization that was started by Richard Vermbrand. He was he was a Messianic Jew in Romania at the end of World War II. So he saw the end of Nazi occupation only to be replaced by communism under Ceausescu, I believe. And he was thrown into prison. He became a pastor and was thrown into prison, tortured there for his faith in Christ. And he established, after he was released from prison, the Voice of the Martyrs, which supports the persecuted Christians, you know, in very difficult places around the world. And there will be stories of persecutions in the magazine, The Voice of the Martyrs. And you know, the one I was just recently reading was talking about persecution, I believe it was in Burkina Faso, where Christians were being persecuted by militant Islamists who were coming in and targeting pastors and killing Christians and things of this nature. So it still happens. The persecutions of Christians are happening around the world. And Peter's saying that, yes, you know, the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced in America. Not quite the same. Not yet. We must be prepared for that eventuality. It happens in different ways, I think. Lawsuits, you know, exclusion, things of that nature, but not necessarily the violence that you'll see in other countries. But we should be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted, that God may give them the strength and the grace to bear up under it, and that they don't deny their Savior under persecution. Psalm 116:15, God says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." We're blessed. We're blessed. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 14, tells us how we should react under persecution. And this talks about blessing those who persecute us. "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil." This is very important under persecution. "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, especially God. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And as I spoke about in a previous episode, the phrase, "For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." I don't believe this is some sort of malicious intent on our part where we are trying to torture that person with doing good for them. I think this is their reaction to us responding with good to their evil, and it's convicting. And they may just become apoplectic and be vexed by it, or they may see their need to repent and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we go farther down in the Sermon on the Mount, farther along in it, this is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, this is where Jesus instructs us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. He says here, "You have heard what it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Again, we should be praying for those who persecute us. It's hard for us as humans, as you know, we're still in this flesh, to comprehend it. Why would I be praying for those who persecute me? But we have to think of the bigger picture, what God's intent is for us. We're ambassadors here to spread his gospel and to bring people to Christ, and we need to reflect him and obey his commands. And through, you know, I keep saying this, through our response to persecution, it may bring other people to Christ. And by praying for them, you are asking God to intervene and bring those people to Christ, whether it's, you know, before you die or after you die, whatever it might be, or, you know, after you suffer the persecution and it's over. whenever it is, but we want these people to be saved. We want them to repent and for them to accept Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But if they don't, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 talks about how God will repay with affliction those who afflict us and will give us relief. It's that common thing that God tells us, you know, vengeance is His. He will repay. You know, we should never avenge ourselves, as it said back in Romans. So here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill your every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we're going to go to Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, where he tells Timothy that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the scriptures I've shared with you hopefully will equip us for every good work when we're under persecution. Help to train us, prepare us for the time when we're being persecuted, to rely on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, during those times, and obey what he has told us, to trust him. And what he has said, that's what we should do. So let's read again what Jesus says in the Beatitudes about persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then in Luke, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. And he continues, woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. There's the talk of reward here, reward in heaven. I encourage you to go back and listen to my podcast from last year. I think it was only one, it could have been two, but the believer's rewards and how the Bible talks about rewards that we get for our faithfulness in this life. Because I believe when you read the scriptures that those things you do in obedience to Christ to glorify his name, pursuing hungering and thirsting for righteousness and pursuing that righteousness will be that gold, silver, the precious metals that will survive the fire, as the analogy is put in the Bible, won't be wood, hay, and stubble that are burned up as you go into heaven. You're still saved, but you really don't have anything, any reward, any treasure in heaven that you've placed there. And that's what we really should be seeking. That's why I seek for all of you, and that's why I do this podcast, so that when you see your master, he may tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Because of what you've done, you've been obedient, you understand what he says in the scriptures. So let me finish up. How do we prepare ourselves for persecution? Well, I think the first thing is what we're doing here. Understand what God says about persecution. And we need to do things like love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. And we need to practice that even when it's the smallest of persecution, so that we can do it when it becomes much greater. We should have no fear of those who persecute us. We shouldn't fear persecution either. And that could probably be one of the hardest things. We're put in situations where we know we face persecution. Are we going to maybe take actions that our Lord would not look favorably upon? Basically be disobedient to avoid persecution, or go so far as to deny his name, deny him as your Lord to avoid persecution? These are things to think about. We also need to remember that our Lord tells us to rejoice when we are persecuted on account of the Son of Man, for our reward is great in heaven. We need to remember that. God sees us as blessed. We enjoy the favor of God when we're being persecuted for his name's sake. I think another thing that we need to do to prepare ourselves is to trust God and his word and obey. And that needs to be done on a daily basis. You know, when people say, you know, I believe God, you can believe in God. You know, believe he exists. You know he's there. I mean, the demons believe and shudder. They know he's there. There's a lot of people that believe he exists, but they hate him. They disobey him. They're in a rebellion against him. But if you believe God, you believe what he says is good and true, and you do your best to do it. You got to have that action. You can assent to it, you know, verbally or mentally assent. Oh, yeah, yeah, what he's saying is right. But if you don't do it, then you're being hypocritical. You're contradicting. Your actions are not in alignment with your words. So to believe God is to believe what he says is good and do it. So trust God and his word and obey. And we need to be in that habit every day. We need to pick up our cross. We need to act like we're condemned to die in this world and act accordingly. And I think that's with boldness of being obedient to our Lord and Savior, almost having a nothing to lose attitude of going all in for what Christ tells us to do. And I will confess, I have a long way to go. And God is working through what I'm doing in this in these episodes to sanctify me, to move me along that path to be more like his son, because I know I'm not there. But this whole idea of picking up your cross, Jesus tells that to his disciples. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Is he talking about persecution here? He very well could be. You know, if you try to save your life from those who are trying to persecute you, you may be denying your Savior, and you are trying to save your life in this world and the worldly things that come with it. On the contrary, Christ says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, and you will have eternal life. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So let us deny ourselves. I think this is very important for us to prepare ourselves for persecution. Let's deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. Follow him and not worry about saving our life, but losing our life to find it, to find eternal life. Let's follow the advice of our Lord and Savior. We need to be holy in this life and not compromise with the world system, the sin in this world. We need to reflect what he tells us is blessed in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. We need to be poor in spirit, meek, merciful. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, be pure in heart, and be a peacemaker. We need to pray for the persecuted. Those who are being persecuted now, pray for them. And then we also need, I think finally, to pray for God's grace, mercy, wisdom, and protection in these sorts of situations and what we may find ourselves. God tells Paul in 2 Corinthians, when Paul prays three times for him to take this thorn out of his side that's really bothering him, God tells him that his grace is sufficient for him, and God's grace is sufficient for us as well. This is what Paul says, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I'd be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And the same applies to us. We need to rely on God's grace for our strength. When we are weak, we are strong. When we're being insulted, persecuted, suffering calamities, that weakness, we rely on the strength of our God, not our own strength. We should be seeking the shelter of our Lord during those times. And during persecution, it's our opportunity to glorify the name of our Lord. I encourage you to go read about Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna. I believe if I recall this correctly, he was discipled by the Apostle John, and read about his martyrdom. Very interesting story, how they tried to burn him and his body wouldn't burn, and then they had to run him through with, I believe, a sword or spear or something like that. But I'll find it and I'll put the link to it in the show notes. But this is something that it's hard to think about. But if we do those things to prepare ourselves for persecution, then I think we'll be more ready. We just need to think about the glory of God and not our own stuff here on this planet, you know, not our own lives. Because God knows what's happening. He knows when it's your time, you know, when it's your time to give your life for him. And your reward will be great in heaven. Just remember that, please, dear Christian. So like I said, I'll put that link in the show notes for the story of Polycarp. And I'll also put a link to where you can find Fox's Book of the Martyrs in digital format in archive.org. And you can go back to my other episodes and look in the show notes. And I put all the scriptures I use. So if you want to use them as a reference, if you want to use this material for a Bible study you're doing, you know, Sunday school, men's or women's group, whatever it is, please do so. I put the email address for this podcast into the show notes, worthyishepodcast@gmail.com. Separate all the words in the first part by a period. And it's clickable. You can go in and click on it, and it should generate an email for you. But I appreciate you listening. This is one of the harder parts so far in the Sermon on the Mount. There are definitely difficult pieces of this that our fleshly human nature just kind of pushes back against. But we need to trust our Lord and what he tells us and do it. because this may come in our lifetime. We just don't know. But blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. And let me make sure I say this correctly. I'm going back. I'm sorry. I'm pausing here. I'm finding the verse to make sure I say it correctly. Because if I just say blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of God, I'm missing something. You know, persecuted for what reason? Well, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your family and protect you. May he give you wisdom, especially when it comes to his word, what he's saying, how we should live our lives to honor him, to honor him. All glory to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.